Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's a privilege to be here. Let me take one moment for a techno try here. I'm going to try to record myself so that I can take it home to the sisters that were not able to attend. So could be that this is going to happen. Okay. Here we go. I want to thank the sisters here for having this Ladies' Day. They have been doing this consistently every year for many years, and a work like this is hard to sustain. And I want to commend them for the growth I've seen in them personally over the years. So many of them started out as new babes in Christ, and they're leading the songs, they're teaching. Corrine just now has given us her first lesson, and it was amazing. They prepare the food, they do the most important thing, which is develop the concept for the day. And I love this topic, the peace that passes understanding. Imagine, just for a moment, that you're writing a letter to a friend. Maybe it's an email. Maybe it's a text. I don't know. But think about sitting down to write to someone. You're in hardship yourself, and you converted this person to Christ, but they're having some serious problems. You want to teach them. You want to remind them that there is peace and joy in our faith, and we're not shaped completely by our outward experiences, but as Christians, we're shaped by the life that we live in Christ. This is exactly what Paul was doing when he wrote from prison that letter to the Philippians. He was writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to them, but also to us. Aren't the things that he wrote about in Philippians all too familiar? They were poor, financial problems. They were persecuted. They had quarrels. And there was spiritual pride and dissensions. And let's not forget, in every church, there have been doctrinal problems. This is exactly the kind of thing we are experiencing today. But he exhorted the Philippians and us today to look for the peace of God that passes all comprehension or understanding, that will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. That's our topic today. First, I want to consider the topic of peace, and Corrine did a really good job of talking about what peace is. I want to define it in a biblical way. According to Strong's and the Greek work that I did, what peace is not just the absence of conflict, but it is being one, having quietness, rest, and being in a state of being set at one again. Set at one again. With whom? We are set at one again with God. That is the peace that we want. We can be in spiritual warfare, we can be in physical warfare, and we can still have peace. Let's talk about it for a minute. What it's not. What is peace? What is not peace, okay? Peace is not the constant obsessing, friction, separation from, and noisy brain that we are all experiencing all the time. You know, a lot of times we fret. We fret over things that bother us. That's not peace. It's not the pity party that we often create when we're waiting for circumstances to get better. And believe me, I know all about it. It's not that pity party. It's easy to be in a pity party. In fact, I think I even had a lesson one time called privilege or pity or privilege, something like that. We don't need to feel sorry for ourselves. As Christians, we have it made. What peace is a state of being in which we allow God to rule in our hearts despite or in spite of the craziness in our world. That's what it's about. So let's think about life sometimes without peace. We're going to kind of make a contrast. That life is all around us. We see it in prejudice, yes. Rude speech, yes. Lasciviousness, substance use, lusting after worldly things, yes. Seeking things other than the kingdom first, and holding on to hurts. That's not peace.
Right.
It's everywhere, and it's accentuated, like I would say, in the last week, in a really big way in our world, in the United States. The effects of all that are really damaging to our spiritual walk with God. And it's damaging to the church, the family, and ourselves. And all of these things are really important because it's not the church, the family, and ourselves. It's the church, the family, ourselves, all together. They're all together. You don't compartmentalize the church. Oh, yeah, we're members of the church. Then over here, oh, yeah, well, here's my family. And over here, here's me. No, it's all together. You are involved in so many ways, in peace or not peace. But the effects of peace are amazing. It enables us to be Christ-like in all things. Isn't that what Paul said in Philippians 4? And I've got to stop for a minute. That Philippians 4, the whole book of Philippians, if you will just sit down and read it, there is so much good stuff in there for your life, for me. I've learned so much. I kept reading it, and then I realized, you can't put the whole book in your lesson. You got to just kind of pick and choose here. But really, in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 11, the same chapter where we find the peace that passes understanding, Paul says, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. Now that is peace. Corrine alluded to that earlier. And he also said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that we like it when we have problems. It doesn't mean that we enjoy having conflict. But what it does mean is that we have an amazing coping strategy. A life in Christ. That's where we're going to find peace. Mm-hmm. So the effect on Paul was quite amazing. Because Paul, the writer of this book, who is writing to his dearly beloved converts in Philippi, had left everything that we would consider important by the world standards. He had security as a Pharisee. He had position, prestige, and power. Don't forget, he was one of those people that was chasing Christians around. He was killing them. He had a lot of power. He was a powerful man. But he gave all that up, and he found peace and wanted the peace that we find in Christ for all of us. He wanted that for you. He wanted that for his Philippian brethren. And it's something that he's qualified to talk about. Now, peace has a big effect on us. We can have a proper view of the things that happen to us in this life, especially the hard things, like the hurts, the unfaithfulness in families and marriages, problems in the church and situations in the world. We can still have peace. It can have a profound effect on us. Yes, you can even have peace looking at the politics in the world. Because you are above that. You are in Christ.
Amen.
Christians and their families need to find this peace. Otherwise, everything that happens puts us into a tailspin. And we spend our time, and we've all done this, upset and burning up a lot of energy and time over things that haven't even happened. Let me give you an example. Okay, you go to the doctor or you get sick and you get some news from the doctor. Probably not what you wanted to hear. So what do? Pretty soon you're imagining your funeral. Right?
Yes.
You laugh, but it's true, okay? And that is not peace, okay? It's a natural inclination, and I'm going to talk about how to deal with that in a little bit. So we worry about a lot of stuff that hasn't even happened. Okay, you get the word that, yeah, something's wrong, but you're not dead. Okay, so, you know, we all do this. Here's another example. In the church, someone you know and love might start living a sinful life. You see them kind of falling away. Or, you know, there's problems in your congregation. What do? You picture the church has closed its doors. You're ready, you know, to find another church. You don't know what to do. You're all in a dither. And believe me, I've lived through it. But that is not peace. That's the effect of not peace on us. Instead, we need to kind of get a grip on our thinking. That's where the peace is going to come in. And we'll talk about that more later. Here's another situation. The political situations in our land, in our country, are making you think that everything is hopeless. Instead, try to be grateful for the place where you live. And look at what's just happened. Just yesterday, the March for Life. Amazing! The Vice President of the United States stood up and said, abortion is wrong. I mean, things are changing. This is big. It used to be, you know, that was just the status quo. Abortion is the way we're going to do it. And you were some sort of an outcast if you dared say that is not right. Well, now, guess what? People are speaking up. That's good. Things can change. But you know what? When we get worried about all this stuff, when we are in that not peace situation, I want to share something with you that I heard after I had my little heart attack. I was listening to some motivational tapes, and the speaker said, "Don't you know that God is bigger than all this stuff?" And I thought, yeah, he is. Okay, isn't he the God that created the world? Isn't he the God that had to destroy the entire existing world with a flood? Then he created a people for himself and gave them a law and brought them out of captivity. Isn't he the same God that gave them the kings and the judges and then watched over them while they experienced years of idolatry, brought them into captivity, and then they finally learned their lesson and never experienced idolatry again? God is bigger than all this stuff. And we forget that. We forget to cling to him and think about all of the amazing things that he has done. Here's another effect of peace, and that is the effect of drawing others to Christ. And this is really important. The world's already full of people reacting and freaking out about all sorts of serious and non-serious things. When others see our calm spirit, they're drawn to us. This is really important. You can teach and reach so many more people by a peaceful spirit of love and hope than by joining into the social hysteria. The latter part of Philippians 4 shows a reason to have the peace that is attractive to others. In the latter part of Philippians 4, 7, it says, "God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, we are told that God will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We'll have God working for us. When we get to when we get in Christ and we allow that peace to be in us, we will be guarded by Jesus Christ, and God himself will strengthen and protect us from the evil one. It's worth doing.
Amen.
Okay. Now, that doesn't mean that we're complacent. Oh, let the peace come on me. No, that's not how it's going to work. We've got to do something. Okay? Now, this is where we have to step up. You can be a Christian and still not have peace. You have got to do some things. And we're going to name quite a few things here. The first thing that we have to do to get peace is through the gospel. We have to be saved. If you are not saved, you are not going to experience that real peace. Now, in Acts chapter 10 and verse 36, in the conversion of Cornelius, we can see what happened to those Gentiles when they became part of the in Christ body. It says that they had peace in Christ. Once they were in Christ, not only were they not in friction with the Jews, but they had their sins washed away. I remember that. And if you haven't thought about your conversion or you have not been converted, I suggest that you think about it. Go back and visit that again. There was nothing better than having that horrible weight of sin lifted off.
Yes.
And for some people, it's greater than others. If you were raised in the church, maybe you weren't so outrageous. But I was pretty outrageous. And I have to say, to know that that is no more for me. It's not. It's wiped off the book.
Yes.
That gives me peace. And you're never going to have that peace until you are in Christ. And we're going to talk about that at the end of the lesson.
Amen.
Oh, my. It can't be 11:43. All right. Moving on. So, first, you have to be in Christ. Second, you have to cast your cares on Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, which Corrine did a lot of work in 1 Peter, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." Now, the meaning of this casting your cares, the casting part has to do with casting a fishing net. Now, this is really a vivid picture of what it means for us to cast our cares on Jesus. First, though, we have to humble ourselves before him. That's an important part of that verse. If you're not humbling yourselves before God, you're not going to know that peace. And then, it's like casting a net. Now, a net takes a lot of work to cast. And here's what you have to do. Here's what I picture. Now, you have to remember, I'm a first grade teacher, and the way we teach the meaning of words to children is by doing something. Okay? So here's what you do. You get your net, and you can do it with me if you want. Get your net, and you're going to take all that garbage that you're thinking about and spinning about and worrying about and fussing about and all that. Just take it all, wrap it, and here's the net. Oh, don't fall down. And then you're going to take this net and just throw it to Jesus. Okay? So I always visually do that. I'm like, okay, put it all in, and bye-bye. And you know what? When you're laying there in your bed and you're doing that fretting thing, or you wake up and tomorrow I should have, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow? You can either write it down or visually take that, get that net full and just throw those burdens on Jesus.
Amen.
And he's waiting to take them. I love that. I love that. A third thing is, if you want peace, you're going to have to pray.
Amen.
And if you've heard all about prayer, you've had your lessons on prayer, you've heard all the scriptures and everything, but have you really made it your own? I find great comfort in prayer. Does it just kind of, a prayer just kind of pop into your head, that pray without ceasing thing? It's just so amazing. I find such comfort in knowing this very important thing that I don't know if you have meditated on this, but the Holy Spirit in your prayer will intercede with your spirit. Wow. Here's the scripture, Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Wow. Will you let the Holy Spirit do that for you? You've got God knowing the mind of the Spirit and then Jesus as your advocate. Wow. That gives me peace. That gives me comfort to know that I have that going for me. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "The Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. You can know all this, and it can be in your head, mm-hmm. but you can still not have peace. Mm. You've got to make it your own.
Yes.
And part of it is what you are going to have to do with your mind and your body. This is really important. You're going to have to take care of yourself. If you don't take care of yourself, you're going to unravel. The first time, as I said, something comes up, you're in a tailspin. You know, we have to do a better job of caring for our bodies, which yes. are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Uh-huh. Don't forget that.
Amen.
So you have the Holy Spirit in you.
Yes.
Let the Spirit do its work. But also, you do some work taking care of yourself. So first, unfortunately, you are what you eat. And nutrition is really important. And when we are filling ourselves with garbage, our bodies and our minds spin out of control.
Yes, ma'am.
I see this every day with first graders when I'm at work. Soon as they eat that packaged food, zing, everybody kind of, woo, they're not peaceful at all. And as adults, we think we're above that. We're not above that. We need to be careful about what we're putting in our bodies. It's very important. Now, I know it costs more to eat better. It does. But I'm here to tell you, what if you just thought about giving up a little bit of some, you know, maybe that $5 Starbucks, and then maybe one run through the burger. You could put that money toward eating better and having a calmer mind.
Yes.
It's so worth it. It's so worth it. What we put in does have a big effect on our brains. And the effect on your thinking, too much of even a good thing. For instance, you know, I see the kids when they've eaten poorly, their brains just kind of clog. They can't work. And we do that to ourselves too. And as Christians, sometimes we give ourselves permission because, hey, we're not doing a lot of other things. So we think, okay, it doesn't matter if I just, you know, eat all this stuff. It does matter. Your brain is not going to work as smoothly. And, you know, it's very interesting. We had Brother Farber, is that his name, come. And he has this program. It's called Skip a Meal, Save a Soul. Well, I personally can't skip a meal, but I'm perfectly willing to give up something, you know, some kind of junk food or something to help contribute to that sort of thing. It's just something to think about. The next thing is we need appropriate exercise. Now, a word of caution here about exercise. When Paul said he was running the race, he was not talking about a 5 or 10K. Okay, so we don't want to let exercise be an idol in our lives, but Research shows that consistent exercise can change your thinking. And nowadays, therapists, one of the first things they recommend for anything from ADD to actual psychoses is exercise. First thing, instead of medicine, exercise. It can help change your mind from really negative, not peace thinking, to peaceful thinking. But we need to figure out how to work it in so that it is not an idol. It's not a competition. Although, if you like to compete, you know, I'm not saying, but it's not, you know, like, oh, look at her, she's so great, she can do this. No, that's not peace. We need to just find what works for us. And don't be afraid of things like yoga. You don't need to do the yoga with the chakra growing out of your head from when you were in, no. But I do it all the time, and it's now, it's a lot of it is called mindfulness, and it's very effective in calming your brain into a peaceful state. You can learn breathing. That's what Kareem was saying. Breathing is really important. If you are not peaceful and you start breathing in a not calm way, it's going to make you worse. But if you can calm yourself down, it's so effective. Use your breathing to calm yourself and focus on something positive, not negative. Don't get in that rut that you drew so beautifully on the board. Let your peaceful thoughts be a part of your breathing work and your meditation. Take scripture. When I go to yoga class, I don't know what they're thinking about. I'm meditating on scripture. My intention for the day is peacefulness. Truly. Let me be peaceful today. Let me be kind. That's what you want to think about. You don't need to think about all that other, I don't know, you know, I've got an ache, pain or ache here. I'm going to send all my energy to my muscles. Use it for peaceful thinking. And, you know, I'm making a joke of it, but hey, that can work too. I just want to share with you that a great tool that I use is a prayer walk. Sometimes when I come home, I'm just so burned out, I'm tired, but I make myself go for this walk. And I just start with the immediate needs. I pray for myself, for my family, the church, my brethren, those that I read about on Facebook, Women of the Churches of Christ. I don't know if you're on that. But, you know, there's so many people to pray about. I could be walking for hours out there. But what it does is that walking, the air, you're getting the fresh air, my mind, I just feel myself calming down. I come in, I've got new energy. I'm peaceful, I've prayed, I've taken advantage of all of these beautiful things. And it's a simple tool. And if you can't walk, if you can't do it, find something else to do. You know, the old soup can in the chair, arm lifting, whatever you do, use it to help you have that peaceful in Christ brain. Here's another strategy. And this is really important. There's a lot of things you can do to change your negative brain into a positive brain. And research shows that for every negative thought that you have, you need 6 positive thoughts to change your brain. And you can actually transform your brain and your thinking. That is gold. Because some of us, you know, when you get negative, it's a downward spiral. Think about that one negative thought that needs 6 positive thoughts to go the other way. So you can be pulling yourself down, 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 down. And everybody around you feels it. So let yourself, through the word, through what you talk about, see, who you associate with, let your thoughts become positive. Think, I can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Think about the positive. Another thing you need to think about is when you're having those negative thoughts, and this is really big, you need to ask yourself, is that true? Or, for instance, If you think, I can never be the Christian God wants me to be, you need to think, is that true? No, it's not true. You can. You need to read and study more. What about, I'm so fat and ugly, no one will want me? Is that true?
No.
First of all, God loves you. And your value is not based before God on whether you have found a spouse or anything else. That's not where it's at. God loves you as you are. So another part of this is that you need to manage your hormones. Now, as women, we can talk about this, and it's important because hormones can cause you to have peace or not peace. And some of us have a lot of hormones and some of us not so much anymore. So we need to really think about what effect are your hormones having on you. And if you feel crazy every month, you need to think, what's causing this, and deal with it. If you know you need more sleep, then get more sleep. If you know you need to do something else, water or whatever, you need to work with it. Because my girls used to hate this. They'd be feeling kind of out of sorts or something, and I'd say, is it possible it's that time of the month? And they'd be like, oh, what do you, you know, don't say that to me, Mom. But it's true, because I finally realized, oh, you know, I'm not very peaceful right now because I'm an anxious mess, and it's because of my hormones. And you can do a lot about it, what you eat and your sleep and what you're thinking about. It's really important, and it's not an excuse to sin. I just wanted to slip that in there. Just because, you know, your hormones are crazy doesn't give you an excuse to fly off at somebody.
That's right. Amen.
So I'm going to have to skip over part of my lesson here, but I want to kind of close with what's keeping us from peace. What's keeping us from peace? Usually it's something we're doing.
Yes.
Many of us have let fear get the better of us. Mm-hmm. We're afraid. We're afraid of the world. We're afraid of brethren. We're afraid of family. It's getting the better of us, this fear. And if you want a good read on that and a good study, check out Kathleen's book, Fear Not, Walk in Joy. This is really helpful. So first, you have to have that right relationship with God. Because Jesus has made the way for us to have peace. And we have to have a right relationship with the brethren. We don't want to be like Euodia and Syntyche in the beginning of this chapter, Philippians 4, who were for some reason having a feud. And believe me, it doesn't just happen in that congregation in Philippi. It happens at Airport and Pleasant Hill and wherever you're from. Sisters feud, and they need to stop it. And Paul said, stand firm, because you are workers together in the Lord. So get over it, find a way to get over it, and have peace. And are we blaming others for our not peace? That's the easiest thing to do, right? Okay, we're saying, you know, oh, nobody could forgive me. Someone else is to blame. It's that work. It's that job I have. My home situation, politics, my health. Someone else in my family is causing big problems. Money, doctrinal problems. That all might be going on. But you are going to find your own peace. You are going to find your own peace. And Paul was really big about this. And you know, almost every letter in the New Testament written by Paul starts out with grace and peace, something like that. He really wanted that for them. And so in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21, I wanted to read the whole thing, but I just don't have time. There's a whole discourse. So Romans chapter 12, excuse me. Actually, the whole, you know, the whole chapter, but verses 9 through 21 is a whole discourse on how to behave ourselves so that we can have peace, right? And then in Galatians, we have the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
And when we do these things, We're not going to be perfect, but we can find the peace that passes understanding, because that is what God wants for you and me. He does not want us to always be off balance, miserable. He wants us to be peaceful, to be able to smile, to be able to draw others to Christ. So I would like to extend the invitation at this time. If there's anybody who is experiencing this not peace, if you need to confess sin because you know that your peace is just not there, now's the time. We're your friends.
Amen.
We've all been there.
Yes.
If you need to become in Christ, if in that situation of in Christ, if you need to be, as Romans chapter 6 says, buried with Christ and raised to walk in newness of life through baptism,
right,
you can do that today.
Amen.
I want you to do it. We're all praying for you to do it so that you can start that journey of peace, because you're never going to have the real peace until you do. So right now, if you need to make something right with God or to get into that proper in-peace relationship, would you please come and let us know? Or if you are too embarrassed to do that, would you let us know later? We're available to you. We want you to have that peace. So right now, will you come if you have the need?